Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, Pratigya. A human being's activity should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. The six symptoms of fully surrendered souls are also described in this chapter. Devotional service has been divided into two categories, regular devotional service and spontaneous love. There are 64 items listed in regulative devotional service, and out of these 64, the last five are considered very important. By practicing even one of the nine processes of devotional service, one can become successful. Speculative knowledge and mystic yoga can never help one in devotional service. Right? It means they just can't help. You may be engaging them in some aspects of service, but they themselves will not further devotional service. Does that make sense? It's just like you can use a spoon in devotional service, but the spoon's not going to create devotional service. Does that make sense? No?
Just, you know, when it's mentioned karma, karma, jnana, yoga, and then bhakti.
Yes.
Are there elements in each one of them that actually give you incentive to go further, or is it only when you come in contact with a true devotee that it doesn't matter where you're situated, it will take you to the platform of bhakti directly?
It means there's an incentive in the yoga ladder to take you up, but they can only get up to that point of meditation on the super soul. That's as far as they can take. They can't take, and that's an impersonal understanding of meditation on the super soul. So it can't take you beyond that. So it's only when you contact the devotees, and whatever is of value within karma, jnana, and yoga, that's already in bhakti. So bhakti can do all those things. So you don't need those things. You know, it's just like, let's say someone's into new agey stuff before they become a devotee. So that would be a nice thing because they're more sensitive, they're more aware of things, they appreciate that there's something subtler and that. But once they're devotees, it doesn't have any purpose, any value. You know, it might be engaged something in service as is indicated by the acharyas, like you use an astrology to check a chart or something like that, or some vastu to how a house is set up so you can do nicely in Krishna service. But it's not that it itself forwards devotional service. That's the confusion, because what we were discussing before is that you have in the philosophy of Achintabheda Veda Tattva, it's all Krishna, right? And being Krishna, then it's non-different from him, but at the same time it's different. So you have to understand is all these things are non-different from him, that's why you use them according to what the Vedas say. But at the same time, it is different from him. They don't have a value unless they're connected to him. So that creates the balance. So what happens is, as we get into these sciences separate from the Lord, these yogas separate from the Lord, and think that that's, you know, we feel may feel good. You do a nice yoga, mind's a little more peaceful, physically you feel better, so now you're ready more for devotional service. That's okay, but it's only once you engage that peaceful mind and more energetic physique in Krishna's service, do you get any benefit? But it's not that, oh no, see, now because of that I can do service. No, it's the service that made this of value, not the other way around.
So once you're on the level of bhakti, you can use jnana, yoga, karma, in Krishna's
service. Yes, but the elements that are recommended and how they're recommended.
Favorable.
You don't, yeah, favorable. You don't free from karma and jnana like that. So that's the whole point of Yukta Vairagya means, since it's all Krishna, you can use it in Krishna's service. But at the same time, as it's used according to the recommendation of the acharyas. So it's not that because I'm using material energy in Krishna's service, that's enough. It's also how they recommend. Right? You know, so, you know. Speculative knowledge and mystic yoga can never help one in devotional service. Pious activity, non-violence, sense control, and regulations are not separate from devotional service in its pure form. Right? In its pure form, these are non-different. You're going to be doing these anyway. Because we have to remember, as we said, where does piety come from? It's a reflection of the direct elements of rasa in the spiritual world. And so activity is done based on qualities. So the qualities that the devotees use to perform in the direct elements of rasa, that's what comes here as piety. And the activities of the indirect things like that, over there, because of their absolute, they still give a transcendental experience. But here there'll be impiety. So it's still use of qualities. It's application of qualities. That's the whole thing. So these things, the pious activity, nonviolent sense control, regulation, they're already within devotional service. Right? So you'll see them in the natural form. Now, if we take it that no, because I'm pious or nonviolent or sense controlled, that's why I'm a good devotee. No. You can engage that, but that's not why. But someone who is, naturally, it will have that. You know, if they don't have it today, it's just time before it will come. It will manifest. One does not have to cultivate them separately. So in the performance of your devotional activities, that's what you apply. You want to be humble, you apply it in your service. You don't have to separately do something to become humble. You know? Like that. Spontaneous devotional service arises when one follows a pure devotee who is awakened to spontaneous love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the symptoms of devotees who are already situated in spontaneous love of God. He also describes the devotees who are trying to follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees. Right, so both are there. So they're both being described so that we can take advantage of one of the positions like that and naturally transform from one into the other. But just because the higher is given doesn't mean that's what it's for. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? We're on a particular level. Let's say we come into the classroom, right? And then the teacher says, okay, this year in the third grade, we're going to learn these things. And that's going to prepare us for, you know, then like this and that. And ultimately, when you get into the university, you'll be able to do that. And if you want, then you can go for a degree and become a PhD. Does that mean now the third grader says, okay, so tell us how to, you know, what are the PhD stuff that we're supposed to do? Says, no, you're supposed to develop. No, but you mentioned that, so that means I can do it now. No. Why are you changing the process? Right? Have we not heard these points?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. They give the whole range, and so you're supposed to be honest and figure out where you go. And wherever you go, that's what you practice. With an idea of coming to that higher stage. I mean, they've done studies of kids who, you know, do well in school, especially the higher levels and all that, is that's because the family encourages and they have a vision. So when they're young, you know, they have a vision that I'm going to be this. And then they go for, they do their homework, they put in the effort and that, and then they go through until they get there. Like that. But they're doing what they should do now to get there. They have to do their third grade homework, not think, oh, I'm going to do, you know, my thesis. Right?
Unless you're a child prodigy.
Yeah, but then you would have been doing the third grade stuff when you were 3 years old. Yeah. So the point is there's a progression. And we even see the acharyas, they go through that progression. It might go through it very quickly, but they still go through the progression. Like that. So that's just how it works. So if that's appreciated, then all these fine details become inspiring. Because you know that's what you can attain by doing whatever it is at the position you're at. Right? Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 76, service, survive to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, service to the Lord.
Yeah,
or for the brahmachari to survive the service they're doing to the Lord. Yes, like that. They can survive until breakfast without starving to death, you know. Yeah. Verses 77 to 147. The devotee, 148 to 169, devotional service and attachment. Verses 1 to 76, service to the Lord. Ah, so here it says service. Yeah, so it's supposed to be service. 2:2, 1 through 9. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of transcendental mercy, and although the subject matter of bhakti yoga is very confidential, he has nonetheless manifested it so nicely, even in this age of Kali, the age of quarrel. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have described one's relationship with Krishna, Sambandha Tattvera, in various ways. This is the subject matter of all the Vedas. Krishna is the center of all activities, Krishna Ekasara. Now I will speak about the characteristics of devotional service, Abhideya Lakshana. Right? So, characteristics. Mm-hmm. You know, it means that there's a particular characteristics, means what elements are there. So, yeah. Human beings' activities, Abhideya, should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedic literatures. And all saintly peoples have firmly concluded this. Right? So, you see, he's talking about, again, the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana aspect. So it's not just one verse. You know, he refers to it directly quite a few times in his discussions with the different devotees. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Ramananda Rai, like this, he refers.
But Maharaj, it is very easy not to catch this.
Yeah, it is. Because we don't have, like we were saying previously, we don't have any samskar, any impressions in this area. So areas that we have an impression will catch that aspect. You know, because people sing and dance, we can catch that. We eat, so we can take prasad. You know, we're careful, thinking about how we're going to dress and this and that, so we can kind of catch the dress aspect. You know, we're worried about our hair, so therefore we can understand, you know, like that. So some of the things we catch. And then those things that would match with our background, then we do. You know what I'm saying? So like that, then you kind of have a thing. If you're attached to hair, then even though you have a shaved head, then at some point, then you'll grow the hair again. But if it's about, you know, if this is how we identify with Krishna, then we go on like that. You know, what's the hair for? Does that make sense? So that's just kind of how it is. No?
The problem is, by the time you want to grow your hair again, you haven't
got any hair yet. But I remember as a kid seeing Michelangelo.
Yeah.
That I thought, okay, this guy's committed. Yeah, I mean, he really was bald, right? Down to here. You know, it's like that. But he had hair, you know, just growing down like this. So. And it wasn't so long, because when you get old, the hair also breaks off, so only like this long. But, you know, from here to here, you know, so it wasn't. But committed. But yeah, that's the problem, you know. Or when you decide, yeah, let's do this, then, you know, you don't have the energy, you don't have this, that.
In those videos of Srila Prabhupada memories, they interview the early disciples, you know, now in their 70s.
Yes.
You know, they're back with the hair and the stuff. But what comes out of their mouth is just sublime.
Yes, yes. That's funny.
Yeah. Now, I remember when we started the course 11 years ago, when I heard like Samadhar Vidya Parijana, it was like a new thing for me.
Yes. Yes, most devotees don't catch Samadhar Vidya Parijana. Even though it's there, it's mentioned, but you only see it. And Prabhupada also brings it up in his purports. So you can say between Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the different purports like that, it comes up quite a few times. But because we don't have a background in it, we tend to not notice. That's the whole thing. And so but as we get purified, then we should start to notice. And that's the importance of sadhu sangha. We associate with those more advanced. Therefore, if they're more advanced, then they'll be doing things that we're not doing. But as we get purified, we'll start to notice, oh, they're doing something. And then we will add that into what we do. So we become aware of what Prabhupada talks about. So that's the difficulty, is that we're used to this ascending aspect. So the descending, that you have a principle that everything connects to. So in the West, is there what connects to everything? Right? Means the nuclear physicists, they're trying to find that. You know? Means Einstein has, you know, relativity, and so then they think, you know, that, and then they come up with more things and still like that. So they're trying to find that formula. This is the formula. Yes. Sambandhavidaya Prayojana. Everything connects back to that. Why? Because Sambandhavidaya Prayojana, these three features, are, you know, the expansion of the features of Krishna being Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Because he has these three acts. Therefore, everything's in threes. He's known as the Lord of Threes. So it comes back to there. So we're not used to this descending process where this, everything can fit into there. Like our ontology, the Dasa Mool, it's Sambandhavidaya and Prayojana. You know, it just gives more detail, that's all. Like that. So is there. Even in the Vedic, you know, Chitta, Chittishwara, Sadhana, Sadhya, is still Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And then Lord Chaitanya's expanded that a little bit. You know, the more features of Krishna, you know, and the living entity, the relationship with Krishna. Sorry? Yes. Shikshastika, yes. You know, so all the devotional processes go back to that. So you could say all the Abhideya goes back to the Shikshastika. You know, so like that, you have these formulas that everything is, and all these formulas go back into Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. And that's all just goes back to Krishna's Swarup. Right? So that's the thing, we're not used to that approach. We're used to, you start off here, A, B, C, and like this, and it builds up until, you know, supposedly you're writing something worth reading, you know, like that. So we're not used to that, so that's why we don't notice it. So like that. A human being's activities, Abhideya, should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures, and all saintly people have concluded this. When the mother, Vedas, Shruti, is questioned as to whom to worship, she says that you are the only Lord and worshipable object. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, the Smriti Shastras, give the same instructions, just like sisters. The Puranas, which are like brothers, follow in the footsteps of their mother. O enemy of the demon Mura, this conclusion is that you are the only shelter. Now I have understood this in truth. Footnote 17, this quotation from the Vedic literature was spoken to the Lord by great sages. Krishna is the non-dual absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Although he is one, he maintains different personal expansions and energies for his pastimes. Krishna expands himself in many forms. Some of them are personal expansions and some are separate expansions. Thus he performs pastimes in both the spiritual and the material worlds. The spiritual worlds are the Vaikuntha planets. And the material universes are the Brahmanandas, gigantic globes governed by Lord Brahma, expansions of his personal self. Like the quadruple manifestations of Sankarsana, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, just descend as incarnations from Vaikuntha to this material world. The separated expansions are the living entities. Although they are expansions of Krishna, they are counted among his different potencies. Srila Prabhupada, the personal expansions are known as Vishnu Tattva, and the separated expansions are known as Jiva Tattva. Although the jivas, living entities, are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are still counted among his multipotencies. This is fully described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 7.5. Apareyam itas tvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagata. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty arm, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities or exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Although the living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels, they are Prakriti, not Purusha. Sometimes Prakriti, a living entity, attempts to imitate the activities of the Purusha. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, living entities conditioned in this material world claim to be God. Thus, they are thus illusioned. A living entity cannot be on the level of a Vishnu Tattva or the personality of Godhead at any stage. Therefore, it is ludicrous for a living entity to claim to be God. Advanced spiritualists would never accept such a thing. Such claims are made to cheat ordinary foolish people. The Krishna Conscious Movement declares war against such bogus incarnations. The bogus propaganda put out by people claiming to be God has killed God consciousness all over the world. Members of the Krishna Conscious Movement must be very alert to defy these rascals who are presently misleading the whole world. One such rascal, known as Paundrika, appeared before Lord Krishna, and the Lord immediately killed him. Of course, those who are Krishna's service cannot kill such imitation gods, but they should try their best to defeat them through the evidence of Shastra, authentic knowledge received through the disciplic succession. All right, so killing the demoniac mentality. 2.22.10-15. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the living entities, jivas, are divided into two categories. Some are eternally liberated, nitya mukta, and others are eternally conditioned, nitya samsara. Those who are eternally liberated are always awake to Krishna consciousness, and they render devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So that's the actual position of being woke. No? Yes? No? Yeah. They are to be considered eternal associates of Krishna, and they are eternally enjoying the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. Apart from the ever-liberated devotees, there are the conditioned souls who always turn away, bahir mukha, from the service of the Lord. They are perpetually conditioned in this material world and are subjected to the material tribulations brought about by different bodily forms and hellish conditions. So even though people in the material platform claim that they're woke, they're actually just more materialists. So only devotees can actually be awake. Right, brought about by different bodily forms. So on the material platform, it's always over the bodily form. All the issues are all over the bodily form. Like that. Due to his being opposed to Krishna consciousness, the conditioned soul is punished by the witch of the external energy, Maya. He is thus ready to suffer the threefold miseries. Miseries brought about by the body and mind, the inimical behavior of other living entities, and natural disturbances caused by the demigods. In this way, the conditioned soul becomes the servant of lusty desires, and when these are not fulfilled, he becomes the servant of anger and continues to be kicked by the external energy, Maya. So when he becomes anger, so whether he becomes a pessimist and that, and so he's still kicked by Maya. The optimist is kicked because you can't get all those things. He becomes pessimistic, he's still kicked. And then he goes to the extreme end where he wants to, you know, how you say, extinguish his existence, he's still kicked. Wandering and wandering throughout the universe, he may by chance get the association of a devotee physician, whose instructions and hymns make the witch of the external energy flee. The conditioned soul thus gets into touch with devotional service to Lord Krishna, and in this way he can approach near and near to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. An explanation of verses 8 through 15 is given by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. The Lord is spread throughout the creation in his quadruple expansions and incarnations. Krishna is fully represented with all potencies in each and every personal extension. But the living entities, although separated expansions, are also considered one of the Lord's energies. The living entities are divided into two categories, the eternally liberated and the eternally conditioned. Those who are ever liberated never come in contact with Maya, the external energy. The ever conditioned souls are always under the clutches of the external energy. This is described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Daiva Yeshid Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratya. The divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The Nitya Bhadas are always conditioned by the external energy. And the Nitya Muktas never come in contact with the external energy. Sometimes an ever liberated personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this universe just as the Lord descends. Although working for the liberation of conditioned souls, the messenger of the Supreme Lord remains untouched by the material energy. Generally, ever-liberated personalities live in the spiritual world as associates of Lord Krishna, and they are known as Krishna Parshada, associates of the Lord. Their only business is enjoying Lord Krishna's company. And even though such eternally liberated persons come within this material world to serve the Lord's purpose, they enjoy Lord Krishna's company without stoppage. The ever-liberated person who works on Krishna's behalf enjoys Lord Krishna's company through his engagement. The ever-conditioned soul, provoked by lusty desires to enjoy the material world, is forced to transmigrate from one body to another. Sometimes he is elevated to higher planetary systems, and sometimes he is degraded to hellish planets and subjected to the tribulations of the external energy. Due to being conditioned by the external energy, the conditioned soul within the material world gets two kinds of bodies, a gross material body and a subtle material body, composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. Due to the gross and subtle bodies, he is subjected to the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhibhaudika, and adhidaivika, miseries arriving from the mind and body, other living entities, and natural disturbances caused by demigods from higher planetary systems. The conditioned soul subjected to the threefold material miseries is ceaselessly kicked by Maya, and this is his disease. If by chance he meets a saintly person who works on Krishna's behalf to deliver conditioned souls, and if he agrees to abide by his order, he can gradually approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. 2.22.16.
Can we say that the acharyas are all associates of the Lord?
Yes, our acharyas are.
They have never been in touch with Maya.
No. Oh, it doesn't mean that they don't come here and preach.
Yes, yes. But even if they come here, they are never in touch with Maya.
No. Because they see everything connected to Krishna, so where's the Maya? Maya is thinking it's not Krishna. And they don't have any problem because they see the external energy that's there. And it's all Krishna's energy. And so how Krishna says, recommends that you use that aspect in his service, in connection with him as that thing, they do. They don't have a problem because they don't have previous issues that they're trying to live out. You know, like that, like Prabhu was saying. You know. So they're not trying to live these things out. So it's just, that's the way it is. Krishna says, you deal with the house like this. You deal with the family like this. You deal with money like this. And so they just do it. And so they're never touched by Maya. They're working within external energy, the inferior energy, but they're never under the control of Maya because they don't see anything separate from Krishna. So for them, it's just Krishna's, it's his inferior spiritual energy. Right? So you have the unlimited spiritual energy, you have the inferior spiritual energy, and you have the minute spiritual energy. So for them, there's only spiritual. For us, because we see it different from Krishna, that's why we call it the material world. It's inferior energy, but it's still his spirit, it's still Brahman. So, yes.
If we use the indirect way energies as related to Krishna, as recommended by Acharya, will we get the same benefit as direct ones?
Do you have an alternative?
No, we don't have it. In terms of advancing in spiritual life.
Do you have an alternative?
No.
So, what's the point? Point is, when you can do direct activities, you do, because of their nature. But when you're having to do other things that are indirect, you connect into Krishna, and that way you get devotional benefit. So basically you can say, as the indirect things being connected to Krishna, that can bring elevate you out of the material world. Naishkarmya can bring you to that point. But the direct activities, that will bring you forward to prema. Right? Because the direct activities don't change. When you go to the spiritual world, they continue. But here, the indirect, that's going to change. You know, even in this lifetime, they'll change, depending upon your situation. The brahmacharya, they'll be one way, grihastha, another, vanaprastha, like this, they're going to be different. Or depending on the varna and the activities, it'll be different. Right? So the principles are the same, but the point is the detail will be different. So when you get to the spiritual world, you have a spiritual body, and you'll act according to that position. Right, because that position is based on your attraction to Krishna. So, okay. Yes.
In regard to Prabhu's question on the acharyas, when we look at the life of the acharyas, we see that some of them are born in certain families, or in this certain conditioning. Devamani Thakur, Prayas Thakur, Raghunatha Goswami, and Sanatan, they all come through certain backgrounds, and then they evolve until they meet a certain point where there is no return.
Yes.
So, is that to show an example? This is how the conditioned souls are situated, and this is how they come out of it?
Yes. Like that, if they're the Nitya Siddhas, but if they're not, if they're Sadhana Siddhas or Kripa Siddhas, then they were conditioned, and then they became. But in either case, either example is good for us. Because one is that they themselves are making that journey, and the others are showing how to make that journey. It'd be just like, okay, there's the person that's going along, you're with them, they have the map, but they have a little more understanding, and they get you through to the place. Or you have a guide that takes you through the same place. It's not that because they started down here and all that, that they're down here with you. They know the whole thing. But they go through the same steps.
Like in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati.
Yes.
He takes you through, you know, this is what happened to me in my childhood.
Yes, yes.
You know, finally I saw the light. Then he moves to Gitavali and, you know, he shows how he's experiencing Krishna finally.
Yes, yes. So that's what they're trying to do is that's why the Puranas are so important. The histories, because then you see how the great personalities, how they attain perfection. And so that way then we can become inspired.
Yeah, because you can relate.
Yes. You know, because otherwise if they just, you know, how you say, you know, in the middle of the lake appeared on a lotus like that, and then you know, would float around and this and that, and they do, then you just go, you know, very mystical, but
no hope.
Yeah, what can you do? Yeah, so it's like, so that's the whole point. In other words, they're all showing that they're from these different backgrounds, and even though they're from these different backgrounds, then they can come to a great position.
Even with Lord Chaitanya, when he was a boy, he said, "When are you going to become a devotee?"
Yeah.
But all of them are already liberated persons.
Yeah. Means who we're talking about, yes.
They are just showing us
They're just showing us, but there's also those who become.
Yes.
Otherwise, what's the meaning of having sadhana siddhas or kripa siddhas? Right? It means somebody's at some point getting to there. So if they're showing us, that means individuals can, by following their example, get to that position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is it doesn't matter to us. It's just pointing out that there's these two kinds of souls. Right? Means that jiva is one topic. That's why when it's discussed in the Dasa Mool, it first discussed jiva tattva. Then it shows that of those, then some are nityabhata and some are nityasiddha. Not that they're different, because once they come to that platform of being eternally liberated, then again they're all the same. Is that... Yeah? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Right? Unlimited. There's no end. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. That's an interesting point that Prabhupada makes. Is that neither are the senses satisfied, and neither are they merciful. They're bad masters. Like that. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. Oh my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. This verse is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.20.35. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are saying, Hare, O energy of Lord, O my Lord, Krishna. In this way, we are simply addressing the Lord and His spiritual energy, represented as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, or Lakshmi Narayana. The devotee always prays to the Lord and His internal energy, consort, so that he may engage in their transcendental loving service. When the conditioned soul attains his real spiritual identity and fully surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet, he tries to engage in the Lord's service. A real spiritual energy. That. This is the real constitutional position of the living entity. So his real spiritual energy is service to the Lord, because service is then you're applying your energy, your qualities. You know, because you're trying to please Krishna by using your energy, then you'll start identifying as his servant. 2:22-19. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, devotional service to Krishna is the chief function, abhideya pradana, of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. But all are dependent on bhakti. Right? So that's the thing. They may be there, but they're all dependent. Different methods for the liberation, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. But they're all dependent on bhakti. Bhakti is the basis. It's not. In our experience, it's something different, bhakti.
Yes.
But the point is what makes anything that we're already doing work, that potency is coming from bhakti. Right? Because there's nothing else. If there's only the Lord, the living entity, and his energies, right? And the living entity. So then the living entity, that's all there is. That's how the spiritual world works. If this is a reflection, means it's the same thing. The same potencies that work in the spiritual world are working here, but in a transformed way.
Yes.
Right? As the external energy, as Mahamaya instead of Yogamaya. So that means all the qualities required to be successful in the spiritual world, you have to use those same qualities here. That's why then it's considered pious.
Yes.
And when you don't use them, then it's impious. Why? Because then the taste you get from it is going to be fear and and disgust and all these kinds of things. There isn't something else. This idea is, no, this is going on, it has its mechanics and all that, because I've read books, I go to the store and there's so many self-help books, they tell how it all works. No, it still functions on the same potencies. Mm-hmm. Bhakti makes it work. The difference is bhakti makes the karma, gives the potency of the karma to give its result. But once you get the result, bhakti withdraws. And then you're just left with the result. That's why when you're doing it, it's so nice. But as soon as you get it, there's no taste. Why? Because bhakti's stepped out. Because you think it's the thing. It was the bhakti all along that was giving you the drive. Does that make sense? So the person striving for wealth or fame or position or authority, or happiness, all these different things, whatever it is, that's there. Because what do they have to do? They have to commit themselves. They have to follow the rules and regulations. They have to regulate their life. Right, all pious qualities. These are all things that you use in devotional. They have to be, determined, one-pointed. They have to be devoted. Yes. But you can't be devoted to dead matter. But, we think you can. But the same process is being used. So now if you do that and see that's connected to Krishna and you're doing it for himself, his means that otherwise I see as Krishna and I'm applying the same rules, I'll be liberated. But I'm doing this to please the person. Krishna is a person, then that will bring me towards prema. Because the point is, liberated just means the neutral state. We fell from the neutral state. So what's the big deal about the neutral state? It's about the positive. So only Vaishnavas are actually positive. Everything in the material world is negative, but within the negative you say, this is better negative and this is worse negative. Right? Does that make sense? Like that.
This is interesting because this is where we see the position and the relationship with the bona fide spiritual master.
Mm.
That unless you have the guru side by side with you all the time, mm-hmm. even back in the spiritual world,
mm-hmm.
There's no way you can get up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, for example, in Buddhism, they say, this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they just show the way. Buddha shows the way. That's it.
Mm-hmm. They can't take it.
There's no customer service.
Yes. Like that. They want to save on money. Right?
So, yeah.
Because the Lord has no energy, so that means there's no money, so they have to just show the way.
The emphasis is so much, the acharyas put so much emphasis in their songs, in the prayers, and
yes.
meditation. On the guru all the time.
Yeah, it's about people. So this whole thing back in the 80s where they're trying to shift it away from the guru, he's keeping it on Prabhupada, so-called, and shifting it away from the guru, because of Prabhupada. But then the problem is they're neither understanding Prabhupada's position, and they become impersonal. Because if you're not respecting the guru, you're not going to respect anybody else. That means that you're not going to care for GBCs, other managers, temple presidents, project leaders, temple commander, nobody. But it's not understood. It's a common mistake of the, it's just like you see with the Hindus. Like, we'll keep all the good things of being Hindu, but we'll go to the West and get all the benefits of being in the West, so the best of both worlds, and that kind of thing that they don't know. You lose it all. So that's the difficulty, is it's not understood. It's not understood, the importance. Otherwise, if they understood the importance and power of Prabhupada, then why can't Prabhupada also make other people like him?
Right.
They'll never be him, but make him like him. So to say that no one else is called, no one else can be guru, everybody else is a schmutz, then that means then they don't really have that much faith in Prabhupada, because otherwise what's their authority to say that unless they're getting the potency from Prabhupada? That all the movement is there, it has that part, that's from Prabhupada. So it's the same thing. He's representing Krishna, so therefore cause and effect. The ultimate cause is Krishna, but then it comes down to him, and then there's the effect. So it's lip service there, because they talk about, you know, Prabhupada, his vyasana has to be higher, and whoever then sitting in that, they can't, their head can't be higher than his chest, you know, and all these kind of things like that, and that's what makes Prabhupada special, because he's sitting higher. These are bona fide designated fools. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. How you say? All 50 of them.
But and also the importance of the disciplic succession. You know,
it's just that they have no idea. These things like that. These are simply political things, because they had these political attitudes before they joined, and they felt some inconvenience at authority when they joined, because it was too absolute for them, because they couldn't handle the concept of authority. And this is their opportunity. They can get together and remove authority in the movement.
Right.
And at the time, they didn't understand that. But then I remember, like, what was it? Maybe like 20 years later, one of the main leading devotees in that whole arrangement, he says, when we did that, we actually removed authority in ISKCON. He realized, because he nicely devotional service, heart becomes purified, then he sees, oh, that may not have been the best method. You know, because yes, people may misbehave, but the point is you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and the bathtub, you know, and then, you know, do the, you know, Hitler thing and then blow up the room that you did the bath in, and, you know, that whole kind of, you don't do that. So you have to be very, very careful. So mundane consciousness is mundane consciousness. It doesn't matter how nicely it's wrapped. You know, that's the whole point. So one has to be very, very careful. Is that without Vaishnavas, the system doesn't work. Because where do you get the holy name? Where do you get that? But the point is any one of those things, if you take even one aspect of what the Vaishnavas given, use that, that itself can take you back to Godhead. Like we mentioned, that one on the train from, you know, Vladivostok to Moscow, it's a 7-day journey. So devotees are riding on the train there. And somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, it must have been middle of nowhere means Siberia somewhere. You know, some guy gets on the train and he starts distributing photocopies of Prabhupada's books. And he's coming, and because the devotees, I guess they're dressed as, this would have been back when, you know, you had to be careful. Like that, they weren't dressed as devotees. So then comes by and he sits down and gives them a book and starts explaining about it and everything like this. And, you know, kind of in those days, everybody knew everybody as the devotees. You know, who was where and everything like this. And so they don't know this person. And he's explaining to them the importance of, you know, chanting and book distribution and all these different things. And they think, wow, who is this guy? So when they ask him about it, he was, you know, some guy, you know, been riding on the train, got off at the station or something somewhere, and saw a book, you know, lying on the side. You know, someone had, I guess, got a book and just looked at it and just put it down. So he picked up the book, read it and everything, took it home. In there, he emphasizes the importance of Sankirtan, of book distribution. Like that, and chanting. So he photocopied the book. That's the founder of Charlie. That's potency. So he's taking one thing, and he's already doing these things. And he didn't even know there were devotees. He didn't know there were temples, nothing. Because I guess the book he had didn't have all the list of centers and that, like, you know, some do. He didn't know, so he was shocked. Wow, there's more? Enough people like that. So, therefore, one has to be very careful. You're dealing with Krishna's mission. It's not ours. We're given an opportunity to take part in it. It doesn't belong to us. It's already Krishna's. And his acharya is there taking care of it. And we follow in the footsteps, we can do something wonderful. And if we don't, then we'll end up with, you know, end up somewhere else. We have to be very careful. There's plenty of other places to be. You know? So one has to understand this point, as they say, oh, it's all about Prabhupada. But I would say, no, it's not about Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a good excuse. And they do have some sentiment, but they don't actually understand who Prabhupada is. They may understand a feature of it, but the problem is then that feature they do understand, they're using against other features of Prabhupada. So in that way, it's not so good. Like, you know, Prabhupada told us, you were saying this, Prabhupada told his devotees, you know, why are you trying to kill Krishna? And they're going, what? We're not trying to kill Krishna. Because they were doing something that didn't, it was improper, proper attitude or action and like that. But they didn't know. So that's the thing, is that we may do things. We say it's about Prabhupada, but it's highly doubtful. Because otherwise, all you have to do is preach how he's the founder, Acharya. Everything else falls into balance. But if you have to get rid of everybody else, and then what's left, that's Prabhupada. So that's what I have to call, you know, it's like, you know, how you say, you know, this book is, you know, this book is a problem here and that and all this, so, you know, we'll just get rid of, you know, I mean, it's the table. It's like that. Here, there, now. You haven't actually done anything. You haven't done any service. It means you educate people about Prabhupada's actual position, then everybody else falls into their place. So they can stay where they are. Prabhupada goes up. But because that's all the farther they're willing to give Prabhupada, if anybody else comes up to that, no, they have to come down. Why not let Prabhupada go up to his natural position? I mean, the same devotees that are complaining, Prabhupada was standing in the line to use the bathroom. Same people. Then, after a while, someone figured out, okay, well, maybe we should let Prabhupada go first. Right? Same people. Prabhupada is cooking on his own, offering on his own, serving the prasad on his own, cleaning up everything on its own. The devotees just came from down in the storefront, came upstairs, sat, ate. Hari Bol went back downstairs. And it was just one day by accident, some guest that had came in, went up with them, and that he didn't know this, the drill. So when they all got up and left, he was still sitting there. And then he saw Prabhupada coming, picking up things, starting to wash. He said, "Can I help?" Like that. And he helped Prabhupada. He washed all the pots and everything like that. Cleaned up and everything. And so he comes down quite a bit later, right? You know, okay, if he came down 2 minutes later or something, you know, it would have been no. But he came down a lot later. They asked, "What were you doing?" "Oh, I was helping, you know, Prabhupada walk cleaning and this." And all of them go, "Wow, Prabhupada does all that?" You know? You know, because when you come from home without training in brahmacharya, food happens magically. Clean clothes and pot, everything's magic. You know, you just do nothing. You just go and sit down and enjoy, make as much mess as you want. And amazingly, it's all cleaned up. So coming from that background, then, you know, they thought the same thing. You know, just food happens magically, you know? And so then only then they started then assisting and all like that. So step by step. So they're working with Prabhupada. They have that nice relationship. Then they see his position. So the whole point is you have that relationship. Doesn't mean that that doesn't go up. Doesn't mean it changes your relationship with him. You know? So you have to be able to let that position go. Then everybody else falls in place. Why people aren't supposed to take leading positions? You know? So we have to understand, you know, this principle is always there. You know, that cause and effect means if it's there, if they're potent, why? Because that potency is coming from somewhere. And where is that coming from? The parampara goes back to Krishna. But if you just think, well, I'm this and that, so what? Who cares? But it's connected to Krishna. Now it becomes special. You know, I'm a manager. So what? I'm a manager for Krishna. Now that's special. Right? I'm an intellectual. So what? I'm an intellectual for Krishna. Now it's become special. So that's the whole thing. It's connection to Krishna. That's what makes it important. These other things, they're totally overrated. They're all gone. Who cares? How great a scientist was Einstein? Who cares nowadays about Einstein? Are they, you know, trying to understand and following him? No, they come up with their own theories. Nobody cares. Anyone cares about Caesar? No. You know, and even anybody who names themselves the Caesar, they get rid of.
Yes.
Right? The Tsar, the Kaiser, they're all gone. Why? You know, so it's just, you know. Yeah, so it's just. Because what does that mean? Guy in charge, get rid of him. We don't need a guy in charge. We can all do it ourselves. That's the whole point of socially. We'll all just sit here and it'll just happen magically. Magically means there's 2,500 people sitting in a particular building in a particular city, and they're making all the decisions. But the philosophy is, no, it'll all just happen because we don't need it. Just all work together and all that. Yeah, maybe a small group. So that's the thing. It's all an illusion. They're not seeing that. No, it goes back to Krishna. That's what's special. That's what there is authority. And so when there is this idea that there's no authority, because we have to understand is when you get too much into this liberal mentality is based on there is no authority. There is no standard. We set the standard. That's what it's about. Right? I'm not saying that they're any more or less materialistic than those that are on the right. The point is it's Krishna consciousness that makes it a value. So one has to be very careful. If these things remain in the heart, one will break down Vedic authority. Any authority. You know, you're saying, the guys that are writing now for this and that, breaking down authority, now if they become devotees, if they're careful, these things will go from the heart. If they're not careful, these things remain. And at some point it'll come out as they're being against authority. But by, as Prabhu said, by good association with the pure Vaishnavas, then these things will go away. That's the key point. Without the Vaishnavas, it won't happen. So then you're going to go after Vaishnavas for Vaishnavas. You can't. It's a matter of that aspect that's not devotional, that has to be removed. Not everything. That's what Prabhupada says. You know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
And the tap and the plumbing system.
Yeah, everything. Rip it all out, you know. That's the whole problem. You just get rid of it, you know. So that's the thing, is they get rid of everything. And then think, now it'll be good. Then they notice there's no water.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.